So when we find that sin has entered into our lives, God cares about us just like he cared about David. I believe these lessons that we learn from David, or rather from Nathan's rebuke of David, will help us to be able to deal with the sin that come in our lives. It's not a matter of if we sin. You know, sometimes people say, if I have sinned. That's not the question. The question is when we sin. How are we going to deal with it? And so this morning, for the next few moments, I want to just share some thoughts along this subject of lessons from Nathan's rebuke. And I hope you can be with us at both services, because I'm going to be talking about part two of this tonight. And I trust that you can be here so that you can share in all of the lessons that I want to share with us on this day that we learn from Nathan's rebuke. Even though David was a man called a man after God's own heart, Acts chapter 13 and verse 22 says that he was called a man after God's own heart. He allowed sin to overtake him. And so, after being overtaken by the sin and the tragic things that happen as a result of his sin, he sinned one sin, and then he sinned another sin to try to cover up that first sin. But you know, we can't cover our sins. Only the blood of Jesus can cover our sins. And so Nathan was sent to David to confront him so that he might see the error of his way. And at the same time, in pointing out the error of his way, Nathan would inform him of the dreadful result of sin. And sin has a dreadful result. And that's why the scripture says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I believe this story can provide some valuable lessons for us today as we deal with sin in our lives and in the lives of others. There are lessons to be learned, not only from David's mistakes, but from the rebuke that Nathan gave to David because of his sin. And so when we go back to what Jeremy shared with us in reading, in verses 5 and 6 of 2 Samuel chapter 12, the Bible says, and this comes after Nathan shares with David this story of the rich man and the poor man. The poor man had one ewe lamb. The rich man had plenty lambs. Traveler came along the way. And of course, it was customary in that day when travelers would come that they would prepare a meal for them. And so the story says, as you heard it, and as you read along with it, instead of this rich man getting out of his flock of many, he went and took advantage of the poor man who had only one ewe lamb. This little lamb, as the scripture says, was just like a daughter to him, that he had eaten from his table. He had laid in his bosom. And he took this one ewe lamb, and he dressed it instead of taking one from among his own. And the Bible says, when that story was shared with David, David became angry. And the scripture says, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. You know what had happened to David? David had become blind to his own sin. How often that happens, many times, even in our lives, that we become blind to our own sin. That's the first lesson that we will learn today from Nathan's rebuke of David. He could easily see the wrong, see the fault, see the guilt in the sin of the man in the story that Nathan shared with him. And so he became angry, as the scripture says. It's so easy, again, to see the sin in somebody else's life and become blind to the sin in our own lives. So we're often blind to our own faults and our own failures. He could see the sin. That is, David could see the sin in this man's life, but he couldn't see it in his own life. But you know what Nathan said? In verse number 7, "You the man. You the man. Thou art the man." Yet back to us. Jesus had something to say to his disciples that is applicable to us even today in Matthew chapter 7. He taught a great lesson there of being hypercritical in our judgment of one another. And he said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 beginning, he says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye?" David could see the mote in this man's eye of the story that Nathan shared with him. He says, "And why thou beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou what? Hypocrite." See, David didn't realize as he was a hypocrite. Jesus says, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Could it be possible this morning that we could think that it couldn't happen to us? Could it be possible again that we can become blind to our own faults and failures, to our own sins and transgressions, to our own shortcomings? So much so until we can't see them, but yes, we can see them in everybody's else life. And so when Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, Paul didn't want them, by inspiration of the Spirit, he didn't want them to forget about they could have failures in their own eye. And so he said to them, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," he says, "ye that are spiritual, restore such a one," doing what? "In the spirit of meekness." And doing what else? "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." You see, David couldn't consider himself because he had become blind. He could only see the fault in the life of the man that Nathan was sharing with him in the story and he couldn't consider or see himself. So he says again, Paul says, brethren, are you Christians at Galatia? If somebody among you are overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, he says, you need to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Was David meek? Did he show any meekness when Nathan said that to him? Not at that point. He didn't show any meekness. He says, this man ought to be what? Killed. He ought to be killed. He ought to be stoned to death. He ought to be thrust through with a dart or with a sword. No meekness. So Paul says, you need to do this in the spirit of meekness. Considering your own self, it could happen to you. So oftentimes we think, how could she do that? How could he do that? How could they do that? They could do it for the same reason that you can do it and that I can do it. So yes, we are concerned about the error of one another's way, but we need to do it in meekness and not have the haughty spirit or the spirit that is lifted up with pride. And because we are often blind to our faults, we need to be thankful for people like Nathan, people in our lives like Nathan, who would come to us and point out the error of our way. We need to be thankful for friends like Nathan that care enough to bring our faults and our failures to our attention, and courageous enough, that is, these people that come to us, to challenge our conduct. Are you thankful when somebody point out a fault and a failure in your life? Or do you get mad? Do I get mad? It's none of your business what I do. Oh, yes, we are members one of another. And so we have an obligation to try to help one another. So we ought to be thankful. We ought to be gracious when people point out our faults and our failures with love. We need to be open to constructive criticism. Not so blind as David was at this point in time to see our own faults and our failures when they're pointed out to us. So lesson number one that we learn from this story is that we can become blind to our own faults and failures, just like David was. But as we look further into these scriptures this morning, look at verse number 7, beginning in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such things. In other words, Nathan was saying to David, look at what God has done for you. Look how good God has been to you. God has done all of these things for you, and if that wasn't enough, God says, I would have done even more. In other words, what Nathan was doing, he was appealing to David out of love, showing him how good God had been to him. So what's the lesson that we can learn from that? We can learn that the best way to help others in their faults and their failures is to appeal to them out of love, to help bring them to repentance. You know, sometimes we might have a tendency to make the mistake to jump down people's throat and just pounce on them Well, Nathan didn't do that. First, he painted him a picture, hoping that he could get him to see himself, but he didn't see himself in that. He had to tell him, "You are the man." And then after that, he didn't pounce on him again, but he began to talk about what God had done for him. Do you realize David is saying, or rather Nathan is saying, how good God has been to you? God has made you king. He has given you wives. He has done this for you. He has done that for you. And if that wasn't enough, he'd have done even more. Can't you see how God loved you, is what he's saying? And now you messed up. So if we're going to help people come to repentance in their lives, we need to appeal to the love of God in their lives, hoping that they'll be able to see the goodness of God in their lives that will bring them to repentance. You know, when Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he was specifically targeting in these passages those Roman Jews who thought they were so much better than the Gentiles. And he was trying to get them to see how they were in the same shape that the Gentiles were. They were despising the goodness of God. And so he said in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" When we think about how good God has been to us, and when sin is pointed out in our lives, or when we recognize sin in our lives, we ought to allow the goodness of God to prompt us, to move us, to motivate us to repent. Because we ought to understand and know that God does not like evil. And so when we think about how good God is to us, it ought to move us, it ought to lead us to repentance. And this is what Nathan was trying to get David to see, how good God had been to him. And so when we go to one another, we need to go to them again, appealing to them the love of God in their lives. And you know what Peter did? In Acts chapter 10, Peter said, verse 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person." Do you see the goodness of God in that? God is no respecter of person. That's God's goodness. The reason why he's no respecter of person is because he's a good God. He loves everybody. He doesn't pick and choose, but he loves everybody, and that's because he's a good God. So Peter says that he's no respecter of person, but in every nation, he loves all nation of men. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The gospel that he sent to Israel, the gospel that he sent to the whole world, it comes out of his goodness, because as Peter would say again in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, that he doesn't want anyone to perish. All of that comes out of the goodness of God. So Nathan was appealing to Nathan, or to David rather, the love of God. He wanted him to see how good God had been to him. In our own efforts then to save or to restore others, let us be sure that we do it appealing to them the love of God. Because God has been so good. He woke you up this morning. He has given you food to eat. He's given you clothes to wear. He gives you breath, or rather air to breathe, water to drink. He's done all of this for you. Now you ought to think about how you're treating God by having sin in your life. You see, again, God can't stand sin. God and sin cannot coexist. So God does not like sin. He hates sin. So we need to try to bring people to repentance by showing them the love of God, the goodness of God, of what He has done in their lives. I say to us this morning, let's be people that appeal to people out of the love of God. But when we get them to see, or hopefully get them to see the love of God, then don't fail to reveal the sin. Yes, we point out the sin, just like Nathan did. We point out the sin. Nathan was very clear in telling David what he did was wrong. Notice what he says in verse number 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast done what? Kill Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Yeah, you sinned, David, but here's the sin that you did. You killed Uriah the Hittite. You've taken his wife Bathsheba to be your wife. He revealed the sin. And you know what? People will not repent unless they realize that they are sinners. You see, because a lot of folks think that the wrong that they are doing is right. All people don't have the moral compass that we have. All people don't base their lives upon the Word of God like we do. And so many times people think that what they are doing is right. And so they see no reason to change. So we have got to, as we go to them and appeal to them out of the love of God, whether they be members of the body or whether they are not members of the body, when we appeal to them out of the love of God, we got to reveal to them what they're doing wrong. Here's what you're doing wrong. You kill Uriah the Hittite. You've taken his wife to be your wife. You've done that. We got to let people see that they have truly sinned because they violated the Word of God. And then not only do you reveal the sin, but you need to point out the consequences. I've already related a verse in Romans chapter 6 this morning, verse 23, that says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Notice what Nathan did. He spelled out what would happen because of David's sin. He says, now therefore, verse number 10, the sword shall do what? Never depart from thine house. Something similar was discussed this morning, Brother Montgomery, wasn't it, in the adult Bible school lesson concerning Eli and his sons that had sinned. So he says, the sword shall never depart from thine house because thou hast despised me and has taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Verse 11 says this, thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. Not from somebody else's house. But the evil is going to come against you, David, out of your own house. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. That brings to mind another scripture in the Bible that says, your sins will find you out. We need to understand, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, that our sins will eventually find us out. So Nathan said to David that there are some serious consequences that are going to happen because of what you have done. And you know, when David heard all of that, that drove him, or that motivated him, that led him to repent. That brings us then to the third lesson that we learn from the story. Look at verse number 13, the first part of it. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. What's the lesson? The lesson is that we learn the proper attitude that we should have when we repent. You notice what David said? David made it personal. David says, I have sinned. Bathsheba didn't make me sin, but I have sinned. Yes, she was over there on the housetop bathing herself. And the Bible says she was a beautiful woman to look upon. But David never went there. He never said, she was beautiful. I was overtaken. She enticed me. It was her fault. David says, I have sinned. So when we deal with sin in our lives, when we realize that we have sinned, either of our own self or somebody else pointed out to us in love, when we realize that, we need to make it personal. Take responsibility. You know, we live in a generation of folks today that don't want to take responsibility. Everything has a reason. They have a justifiable reason for what they do, for what they say, for how they act. They don't want to take personal responsibility. David took personal responsibility. He says, I have sinned. She didn't make me do it, but I sinned. Y'all remember Adam, don't you? You remember what he said? This woman that you gave me, she gave it to me. He didn't take personal responsibility. David wasn't like that. David responded appropriately when he recognized that he was the man. And when Nathan talked to him about the love of God, when he revealed the sin to him, when he pointed out the consequences to him, he responded appropriately, and he says, I have sinned. He took full responsibility. And not only in taking that full responsibility, but he saw the true nature of his sin. You notice what he says, what he said? He says, I have sinned against who? The Lord. Yes, he sinned against Uriah, yes. Yes, he sinned against Bathsheba, yes. But he realized that all sins ultimately go against God. Y'all remember Joseph, don't you? When he was down in Egypt. And when this lady, Potiphar's wife, kept tempting him. And eventually he got his coat and he ran out of the room. And he said this, how can I sin against God? All sin is against God. So we need to realize that when we have sinned, we have sinned against God. Because you see, when you sin against me or when I sin against you, the only thing I can do, the ultimate thing I could do, and I hope I would never do it, is take your life. But you know what? God can destroy the soul. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 10 and verse 28, he says, fear not man that can kill the body and not the soul. But rather, he said, you fear God who can kill both soul and body. So when we sin, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, we need to realize that we have sinned against God and make it personal. Take responsibility for it. You know, Sadly, that's why Moses was not allowed to go over into the promised land. Because he allowed folks to make him mad. You go back there and you read it in the book of Numbers. They got him so upset when God had told him to speak to the rock. And instead of him speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. And he said, "You stiff-necked people, how can I? You expect me to fetch water out of this rock?" And he smote the rock. And God says, "Because of this, you won't go over." So we can say that she did this, he did that. I wouldn't have done this if they had done that. We can say that all we want to. But if we don't get it right, God's going to deal with us. So we need to realize again that all sin goes against God. And so David says, I have sinned against the Lord. You know, he made that point in Psalms chapter 51 when he wrote that Psalms and he was describing his repentance and God's forgiveness there. And he says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." I'm talking about the great lesson we can learn from Nathan's rebuke. This third lesson that I'm sharing right now is that we can learn the proper attitude of repentance. We need to realize again that we have sinned against God, and we need to make it personal. You know, but much repentance today, I'm sure, much pretended of repentance, falls short of this. Too often times, we don't make our sins personal enough. Oftentimes, we don't think of how our sins are against the Lord. And unless we realize that, true repentance won't happen. We got to realize what we've done. It's not just against you, Travis, but it's against the Lord. It's not just against me, it's against the Lord. So we need to realize that so that it will bring true repentance in our lives. And true repentance, you've heard me say it many a times, brings forgiveness from the Lord. Why do I keep saying true repentance? Because shallow repentance, a phony repentance, will never bring forgiveness from the Lord. It's got to be genuine. It's got to be true. And David truly repented. And because of that, David said in Psalms 51, that I acknowledge my sins and the Lord forgave me. Until we are true in our repentance, no forgiveness will come. And so three lessons we've learned this morning from Nathan's rebuke. Number one, we've learned that we often are blind to our own faults and failures. I want to say to us this morning, let's not be blind to our own faults and failures. Let's realize that we are capable of sinning and we do sin. Because again, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And 1 John chapter 1 says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, and we make God a lie. But Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 says, let God be true, and every man a lie. So we hadn't made God a lie, we just made ourselves a lie. God will never be a lie. He's always true, and always will be true. So we all have sinned, so let's not become blind to our own faults and failures. And the best way to help one another to come to repentance and change our ways and get back in good standing with God is to appeal out of the love of God to one another. Let's encourage people, exhort people to see and to realize how good God has been. how we don't want to sin against a good God like that. Because God doesn't have to be good. He's good because he is good. He can pass his goodness over me to somebody else, but because he's a good God, he's still good to me. Even in my sin, he's a good God. And I ought to be able to recognize that. So no wonder David would say, Joseph would say, how can I sin against God? How can I sin against this good God who has elevated me? My brothers wanted to kill me. But in God's providence, he's brought me into Potiphar's house, and now I'm over all the agricultural business of the land of Egypt. Nobody would have done that but a good God. So Joseph says, how can I sin against this good God? So that ought to be our response. How can I sin against this good God? Well, the reason why we do sin is because we have human weaknesses and failures. So we're going to sin, but when we realize we're sin, we need to realize we're sin against this good God and yet right in his sight. And lastly, we've learned this morning the proper attitude that we should have in our repentance is to make sin personal in our lives. To say when we have sinned, to say, I have sinned. Not because those church folks didn't speak to me. No, you sinned. Not because somebody did something to you. You sinned. I sinned. Make it personal. Take responsibility. Because all of us got to stand before God to give an account of ourselves before him. Lessons from Nathan's rebuke. Will these lessons help you this morning? Will they help me? We have to make that determination. If you're here and there this morning, you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to appeal to you out of the love of God. God so loved the world, the Bible said, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. God could have condemned the whole world to be lost. But because of his goodness, he wants everybody to be saved. And when you think about a good God like that, it ought to just move you to want to obey him. So because God loved you, he sent Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross. And they crucified him and put him in the heart of the earth. And on the third day morning, he arose. And now he's back in heaven, preparing a place for all the faithful to come. Would you believe in this Jesus then, as the Son of God? Romans 8 and verse 24 says, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, you've heard me quote the verse in Romans 6 and verse 23. It says that the wages of sin is death. And that's not physical death. We're going to die physically, yes. But that's spiritual death. That's eternal separation from God. Nobody wants that. So in order to avoid that, then, you've got to repent. You've got to turn away from those sins that are in your life. You've got to be again like David. You've got to realize that I've sinned. I'm going in the wrong direction. I need to get back to what God wants me to do. So that's called repentance. And then you make that good confession. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 32, he that confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And then he says, be baptized in water for the remission of sin, to get rid of your sins, to cleanse you of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Not just any church, but his church. The one that you can read about in the New Testament. Because that's the one that he promised to build. That's the one that he did build. And that's the one that he adds all saved people to. Acts 2 and verse 47. Because one day he's coming back to receive that church unto himself and present it back to the Father. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and are not a faithful member of the body of Christ, the church that you can read about, you'll never be presented to the Father. So would you come this morning? Let the Lord add you to the church.
you're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you've walked contrary to the will of God and you haven't dealt with sin appropriately in your life, I want to encourage you to turn away from it, to realize again, like David realized, that he has sinned. Nobody didn't make you sin. Nobody don't make me sin. Oh, yeah, I know all kinds of circumstances happen in our lives that will induce us, but ultimately the choice is on you and on me as to whether we're going to sin. So if you sin, I want to encourage you to repent. If you need to confess, do that this morning. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, I want to encourage you to come. Come right now while we stand, while we sing.
Oh, friend, we have in Jesus all our sins and grief to bear.
Would you come? Would you come?
A privilege to carry, oh, everything to God in prayer.
Did you come to the Lord this morning? Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord.
For